We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Mondo Davis shares a message called Seeds of Greatness. Mondo is the campus pastor of Gateway's North Fort Worth campus and was a professional football player and health and wellness manager before entering into full-time ministry. Let's listen in.
Nature's first law. Everything, every gift, every talent that you need to succeed has been placed on the inside of you. Every seed has to be planted to grow. Prosper where you're planted, and in time, there will be a harvest. Take the seed of ability God has placed in you and develop it, water it, and nurture it. Over time, watch the harvest come forth. What you were really born to do will manifest. See, Adam in the garden with all of his needs were met by God. And in that place, he had everything he needed in Eden. Eden is a fancy word for garden. It was a place that was literally fenced in where he could dwell with God. Now, as a man, you may be asking, well, what does this have to do with me and my purpose and what I'm doing right now? Think about it like this. You were placed on the earth because you have a purpose, and God needs you to fulfill that purpose. And as you walk in the fullness of what he's placed on the inside of you, not looking at the news, not looking at sports and looking at everyone else and what they're gifted in, but looking not outward, but inward to say, what are the seeds that God has placed in me? And when you discover that and you begin to nurture it, you begin to water it, and you plant it in the right environment, it will thrive and grow. And not only that, it's going to produce fruit that will bless the multitudes. Here's a prime example of what I'm saying. Think about Jesus Christ. You know, he was a seed placed inside of a woman, and it was an immaculate conception, but yet he was nurtured and he grew up. And at the age of 30 years old, he found himself stepping into his destiny. The harvest was manifesting itself. And yet he became the lamb that was slain so that you and I could live and accept and receive an eternal salvation that would keep us connected with our Father forever. See, that's the power of a seed manifesting itself. And that same power lives on the inside of you if you've accepted him to be your Lord and Savior. So I just want you to know today that no matter what you're going through right now, I want you to know that there's a plan. There's a seed that God has put inside of you. Nothing on the earth was placed here without a seed on the inside of itself. My question is, what is your seed? Do you recognize the power of the gift that lives on the inside of you? Here's a concept. When you think about the need to understand the seed, eternity has shifted with the inception of eternal change by being birthed in the moment of a decision. In other words, when you make a decision to give your life to Christ and you make a decision to embrace the life that he has for you, your eternity has changed. And in that moment, the seed begins to come to life. So I want you to think about this from the perspective of heaven. Look at the seraphim and the cherubim. You know, they you have the four faces. You have the eagle, the ox, the lion, and the man, and they literally fly around the throne, these angelic beings in heaven for all of eternity. There's no day or night. There's 24 hours a day here, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But eternity, we can't even understand the concept of time. But these amazing, strong angelic beings are in heaven. And they're literally flying around the throne singing, holy, 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 holy. And every time they sing that, it's because they look at God and they see a new perspective. They see a new dimension of who he is. And he's placed that same nature that causes them for eternity to sing, holy, holy, holy. He's placed that same nature inside of you. I know you're frustrated. I know you look in the mirror and you're like, man, what is happening with me? What have I become? I'm here today to tell you that there's something powerful living inside of you. And if you would believe that and begin to nurture it, instead of what everyone else is telling you to nurture, if you were to quiet your soul and listen on the inside, you would surprise yourself. And you would surprise all the haters in your life as well. I'm telling you, I understand this. I had a dream that died too, you know? But here's the thing. True identity is not found in a job. It's not found in a career. It's not found in your financial status. I don't care how big your house is. It's found in Christ and what he did for us on the cross. The world says success equals performance plus other people's opinions. And God says success equals his view of you and you receiving the gift that he's placed inside of you. So how do you bounce back when the answer is no? How do you embrace this gift when you can't find a way to get it in the soil so it can grow. I want to share a story with you about an accident that happened in my life when I was 14 years old. And you know how it is when you're a kid, man. I was just being silly. I had this ring on. My dad was in the military, served for 20 years. And me and my buddies were hanging out outside and we were seeing who could jump the highest. But you know those bus stops that were outside in the city. We were jumping up, acting like it was a basketball court. And he jumped up and he got it about wrist high. And I was like, yeah, I can show you. I can jump higher than you. And I jump up. I have a ring on and I literally grab the top of the bus stop. And when I come down, I look at my finger and there's no meat on the bone of my finger. And I'm looking at my finger and it's just a bone sticking out. It looked like something out of a Terminator movie. I thought to myself, what just happened? My finger's gone. And I literally went over to my friends and I said, guys, my finger's off. And they were like, man, get out of here. And I was like, no, I'm serious. Look at this. Ah! So I run to my neighbor's house and they take me to the hospital and they cancel it back on because they said the nerves were stretched too far. And then I said to myself, you know what? I'm just going to have to get this cut off. I said, Doc, cut it off. And they cut the finger off. And I'm back on the basketball court because this is my love at the age of 14 years old. And I'm shooting jumpers. And next year I go out for the basketball team and coach says, no, I got cut. I got cut from the basketball team. And I wanted to play professional basketball. So what do you do when the answer is no? I'm going to share another story with you about a coach that I had in college. And he was an amazing coach. And this is the year we went to the national championship in 2003. And we won the game, the national championship in 1AA football, University of Delaware Blue Hens, 40-0. We won 40-0. They didn't even score a field goal. How were we able to do that in such an impeccable season like that? Every game, our coach gave us a brilliant 90-second speech. He said, gentlemen, one thing I can guarantee you today is that you will face adversity. Right now, you're sitting in your car and you're listening to this and you may be discouraged. You may be thinking, man, you know, it sounds good. You lost your finger, but I just lost my job. I just lost my wife. I just lost one of my kids. No matter what it is, you will face adversity. Whether or not you win is determined based on how you respond to the adversity. And right now, I understand you may be really discouraged. You may be down. You may be thinking, I don't know what to do. How you respond right now at your lowest point will determine whether or not you win. And guess what? There's a champion inside of you, and he wants to win. And as you water the seed, as you water what God has put inside of you, you can win. So I'm here today to tell you that no matter what you're going through right now, how you respond will determine whether or not you live the life that God has called for you to live. I want you to think about a new perspective. I want you to think about a new found life. When you think about this, it puts us in a position where you have to ask yourself a question. What am I going to do with the seed? And where am I going to place it? You know, we can put ourselves in bad environments and bad relationships. You may be around people right now that you don't even feel like being around, people that don't care about you and you don't care about. But yet you still invest your time, which is more valuable than your money, because you can always make more money, but you can never make more time. And you take the most valuable asset of what you have and you invest it by being around people who don't even like you. So my question is, when are you going to take that seed and begin to invest it in relationships around you that will cause you to grow, that people who will encourage you, people who will coach you, people who will challenge you? And that leads me to three different types of relationships that I want to talk about. Number one, who is bringing you up to the next level of what you were born to do? I want you to ask yourself that question. Who in your life is smarter than you right now? If you're the smartest guy in the room, then you're in the wrong circle. It's time to get some new friends. So I want to be the dumbest guy in the room. I want to be the guy who's learning. I want to be the guy who's sitting there in awe, taking notes every time I'm around someone because I want to grow. I want to fertilize. I want to be the guy who's growing and the seed that's on the inside of me is becoming all that God intended for it to be. I don't want to leave one thing on the earth that God intended for others to benefit from. The second relationship is, who are you running with? God has called each of us to run a race, and that race is this life. And each of us have our own race to run. But who's running alongside you? Who's encouraging you? Who's there to cheer you on? These are your friends. And last, who are you bringing up? Who is below you? Who is in a position where they need your help? despite where you are right now, we can always find somebody to help. And that leads to something that I want to talk about in regard to the dynamic of the relationships that you're in. So when you think about your seed and you think about the seed, the gift that God has put inside of you, the environment, the soil that you place it in will either kill it or position it to grow and become all that it was destined to be. So think about this for a moment. What is the gift of an apple? You may be thinking it's the seed. Look beyond the surface and you realize that it's the tree inside the seed. What's the gift of the tree? You may be thinking it's fruit, but take a deep breath. It's the oxygen the leaves provide for you and for me. See, everything has a gift inside of it. And when you think about your life, you have a gift as well. And when we plant the seed in the right soil, the tree can lead to the fruit that will provide nourishment for an entire civilization. And as those seeds are cultivated, it can provide a force that can save a nation. That's the same impact that you can have when you put your seed, when you put your gift in the right environment. So here are three different types of relationships that I want you to understand in regard to how you view the seasons and the relationships that you step into. Number one, you have those who are closest to you. These are people that are for you, despite what type of job you have, despite the level of income, despite how nice your car is, or how good you look. These people love you for you. They love you at your worst and at your best. And they're called confidants. Who are the confidants in your life right now? If you have more than you can count on one hand, there's too many. This should be two, three people. If you're married, this is your spouse and a couple of friends that know all of your dirt. They know everything about you, but yet they still choose to love you. These are the people that will be with you for life. And these are people who have been in your life for life. And when you think about your confidants, these are relationships that you want to continually nurture. These are relationships that you want to cultivate, and these are relationships that you want to guard and protect. Next, these are the people that are on a mission with you. And it may be you're in school right now. You may be in a situation where you're on a particular job and you're working with certain people on a project. These are called comrades. Comrades are with you because of the mission. And when you think about the mission, these are the people who are working towards a particular vision. And when the vision ends, when the mission is over, the relationship ends. And lastly, you have your constituents. Constituents are those who are simply in the same vicinity as you simply due to proximity. So therefore, if you're in a classroom, this is somebody that you see just because you guys have the same class, but outside of saying hello and passing, you probably won't talk to them. This is somebody that you just, you're cordial to in the hallway at work because you guys work at the same place, but you wouldn't go to dinner with them or have them over to your house with your family. And these relationships are relationships that are just ancillary. So when you think about constituents, comrades, and confidants, understanding the dynamic of each relationship, it will guard you and it will guard the gift that God has put inside of you because you'll understand the purpose of that relationship. So it's so important to understand this because this determines how we move. And when a season ends, our feelings aren't hurt and we're not offended because we understand the dynamic of the purpose of that relationship. And that relationship of a comrade may have been just for a position to help you get to where God has called you to be. And then once you've gotten there, that relationship is now over. And you can move forward with gratitude for that relationship as a gift from God because he positioned that gift to cultivate your gift. So I just want to position you in such a way to understand the dynamic of these relationships. And when you think about the person that you're bringing up, the person that you're running with, and the person that is pulling you up, put it through the lens of confidants, constituents, and comrades. And that'll help you to live a life with no fear. So here's the thing. As I recap, I want you to do this with no fear. Many of you heard that fear is considered false evidence appearing real. I want you to live the life that God has called you to live and plant your seed in the soil so it can cultivate and become all that God has called it to be. And it can transform a city, it can transform a state, it can transform a nation, and ultimately it can transform a world, all because the seed was planted in the right soil. It was watered and it was cultivated to be a transformational place where people can become what God has called them to be because they've come in contact with you. Go forward with no fear. Live the life that God has called you to live and be all that he's called you to be.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with our new episodes. If you would like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.